The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord. One more year. One more year. This fig tree must bear fruit. Time is of the essence. Life is at stake. And the longer that we are barren, the more suffering there will be. One more year, says the gardener, and the gardener will do everything he can to help this tree, to help us to bear fruit. Time is of the essence. And so I must back up to the end of Luke chapter 12, where Jesus turns to those who think they know a whole lot and calls them fools and hypocrites. He says that they can interpret the clouds and the weather, but they cannot interpret the present age. You see, Jesus looks at them and says, "You don't see what's right in front of you. The kingdom of God is here and now. And you don't see what's right in front of you. You think you can interpret the weather. You can interpret all of these signs, but you're missing. You're not seeing what's right there." Now, in the minute message, I taught you all the Hebrew word for repent, teshuva, to turn or to return, to turn around, right? And we saw how we stop and we take stock of how far we have wandered. We turn towards God. We realize that we have left God's ways and we return to them. We turn, teshuva. Well, the Greek word for repentance is different. It's metanoia. And metanoia means a new or transformed way of seeing, knowing, and understanding. It's like a renewing of your mind. It's seeing in a new way. And in fact, it's a call to see as Jesus sees, to see through the eyes of God, to understand things the way that God and that Christ understand things. The Gospels, the Gospel of Luke is no exception, show us how Jesus sees and invite us to do the same. In the Gospel of Luke already, Jesus has seen widows and strangers and the people on the margins that everyone else seems to not see. Or if they do, they don't take the time to actually regard and look upon them. Just after this parable of the fig tree, Jesus will teach in a synagogue, and he will see a woman who has been bent over. Someone who would be hard to see in a crowd, just out of all of the physicality. Right? You've got lots of people standing, and this woman bent over in half, probably toward the back of the crowd, because Jesus has to call her forward. Jesus sees her when no one else probably does. This woman has been going around unseen for years because she has been bound. And Jesus will see her and unbind her. Jesus talks about what does it mean to love neighbor, right? The Pharisees, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as myself. And then the response is, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the first good thing that the Samaritan does is come near and see the man who has been beaten within an inch of his life. At the very beginning of the Gospel of Luke, God sees Mary and regards her. Mary sings, I have been seen, I've been looked on with favor. You have seen me and known me. We're called to repent, to see as God sees. See, the first part of this text, Jesus is talking about the relationship between sin and suffering. Do you think that these people were worse than others because of what happened to them? You see, we're so good in our way of seeing at assigning meaning, coming up with an explanation for something. When something bad happens, we can be just as guilty as these folks were, thinking that these Galileans were somehow a little bit worse or maybe had earned their fate, or that these people on whom the tower had fallen had put themselves in the wrong place at the wrong time. They had done something. And we tell ourselves by making up these stories that it won't happen to us, that we are better, that we're making better choices, that the only reason that they met their end, the only reason that those people are experiencing that crazy amount of flooding or those fires, the only reason that these people are meeting a violent end is because they're different and they made poor choices and they're less than or worse than us. My friends, this way of seeing things, we must repent from. We must repent and be honest about how things really are. Sometimes bad things happen, and instead of an explanation, we should come with concern and love and compassion. We should see and regard their suffering, draw near, and love our neighbors. We must repent from these harmful ways of seeing. We must be honest about how things really are, that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We must repent from shining the light so brightly on others and pointing out all of their mistakes and the things that they lack and the characteristics that they don't have, and instead shine that light on ourselves. Stop and turn toward God and take stock of how far we have wandered. We must repent and acknowledge the sin in ourselves, that we are no better and no worse than others. We must repent from ways of hate that lead to violence. We must repent from ways of thinking, of systems and thoughts that lead to hatred and violence. We must repent and have a new way of seeing as God sees. We must repent from things like racism and homophobia and Islamophobia that help us look on others as less than ourselves, deserving of their lot when they are the recipients of violence. We must repent from those ways of seeing and realize that everyone we look upon is someone whom God loves, is someone who bears God's own image and is a beloved child of the divine. You will not look upon someone in this room or in any place on this world. You will not look upon someone whom God does not love enough to give God's own life for. So we must repent from these broken and destructive ways of seeing and understanding. We must repent from being silent and refusing to call hate to account and use our voice to speak up when something is wrong, when somebody is talking in a way that will lead to more hate or more violence. We've got one more year, which is to say time is of the essence. Life is at stake. We need to bear fruit. Me and you, us together, this congregation at Spirit in the Hills, our communities and our nation, we are barren. And the longer we are barren, the more suffering the world encounters. We need to bear fruit. We must repent and turn and return to God's ways, to the path of Jesus, the path of the cross, the path of resurrection. We must take on this new way of seeing as God sees, to join God in bringing life and love. Because, my friends, the world needs our fruit. In a world with natural disasters and flooding, in a world where even places of worship are not safe from mass shootings and gun violence, and neither are schools, we need your fruit worthy of repentance, as John the Baptist says, bear fruit worthy of repentance at the beginning of this Gospel of Luke. Jesus tells this parable of this fig tree. Bear fruit not just for your own sake, but also for the sake of others. And my friends, the good news is that God is planting the fertilizer, digging the ditch, setting everything up for the best environment possible for us to bear this fruit. God has not given up on us, on me. God continues to fertilize, to prune, to turn us back to God's ways, to help us move into this new way of seeing and understanding, to move away from hateful systems of thought and speech. God is helping us to bear these fruit worthy of repentance. God is bringing them about now. God is bringing about repentance. God is helping you bear fruit, that you find your voice to advocate for those whose voices are overlooked or beaten down, that you find your voice to speak up when someone is putting others down, that you find the eyes to see and confess the ways that you yourself are broken, instead of just looking down upon others. God is helping you bear fruit and realize that you have enough to help out someone who does not have enough right now, whether that be food or water. God keeps on saying, come to the waters, all who are thirsty, we hear in the prophet Isaiah. All who are thirsty, come. All who are hungry, buy. And you don't even have to pay for it. Take what you need and be filled with this richness. God is doing this work, helping us to bear fruit. We have nothing but to turn, take stock, and come and receive, to recognize the ways that God is already at work in us, moving with us through the wilderness, Christ our rock with us now. God has set it up that we might bear fruit for a world in need.